The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Good evening and welcome to the Sports Maverick Show with the Oprah of Sports, Ida Moyet. Now, the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome to the Sports Maverick Show. This is Ida Moyet, your host, and we have a fantastic show for you this evening. And the people that are out there that joined us over the last month, you know we were talking about diversity in sports and all the different things that are taking place both at the NFL level and also at the college level. Well, an extension of that is that we're watching very, very carefully the issues that will actually rear their head in 2011. Number one, the NFL lockout. March 3rd is the deadline. Do we have a deal or do we not? Well, we're going to explore tonight the impact of the NFL if there is not or it is a lockout. Also, we've got the trials of steroids coming up for the baseball cases. That's going to be reflected out there in the market this year. And people, of course, love baseball. It is still the number one thing in America's heart. We're also going to look at the issue that's taking place in basketball, where we're seeing some power struggles going on among players and owners. And that will also be visited, as well as golf, of course, the infamous infidelity of Tiger. But before we get into that, I want to introduce my special guest to you tonight. His name is Jack W. Plunkett. Jack is the CEO and publisher of Plunkett Research. It's a Houston-based provider of award-winning market research, industry information. And, of course, this particular team that he has, it focuses on industry trends, statistics, analysis, and produces over 18,000 pages of proprietary market research each year. And they cover the gamut in that regard. And they go global and look at the world's top corporations, and they don't miss a beat on that, as you'll learn tonight. Jack is an author and editor of more than 30 books, including Plunkett's Retail Industry Almanac, Plunkett's Entertainment of Media Industry Almanac, Plunkett's Advertising and Branding Industry Almanac, and Plunkett's Healthcare Industry Almanac. Now, I'm going to take this time now and introduce to you my special guest, Jack Plunkett. Welcome to the show, Jack.
Ida, thanks so much. It's absolutely great to be here with you.
Thank you, Jack. You know, I have to just take my hat off to you because, you know, it takes a real person to get in there and grind out these numbers and really come up with a story. And I guess looking at your, you know, your background, that you're just the person for that. But what intrigued me most as I begin to read a lot of your information is that you had such a great handle on the sports industry. Now, for the people out there that don't know it, tell them how large the USA sports industry is.
Well, that's a great question. We, at Plunkett Research, we paint the sports industry with a pretty broad brush. So we include recreation, we include sporting goods, equipment, sporting apparel, gymnasiums, everything that you can kind of consider to be remotely associated with sports and recreation. And we put that at about a $425 billion industry in America. It's a vast industry of great importance.
Now, when you look at the world market, how does the United States compare to other markets, the second largest?
We certainly have much higher spending on sports and recreation per capita than other nations. I would put us probably at 50% of the global sports and recreation market, although we're only 20% of the world's economy. I would say we're 45 to 50% of sports and recreation because we have such an immense focus on it here, and because so much of the rest of the world watches our sport teams.
And that's very interesting because, of course, I sort of digressed to Michelle Obama's new program to get the obesity down in this country, and to know that we have that type of dollars being spent in sports and have the largest obesity problem in America. It's kind of almost strange to have that, wouldn't you think?
It is a big irony, isn't it? Especially since we start with sporting programs very early in kids' school years and try to get kids physically active. And again, you know, I'm a numbers guy, so I'll just throw another number out. In America, we have about 40 to 45 million people who are members of gyms or exercise clubs, and another 25 million people who say they use exercise equipment at home, and Americans are still heavy. We spend money on it, we talk about it, we realize it's an issue, but Americans are still just terrifyingly heavy.
Now, keeping that in mind, as we look at this, it sounds like to me that the dollars in sports are in a few hands. Versus being sort of spread out, I would think.
A lot of the most obvious dollars in sports are certainly in a few hands. And so start with the big four. You know, you've got football, basketball, baseball, and hockey, bringing in between the four leagues something like $22 billion a year. So just by themselves, they account for 5% of that very broadly described sports and recreation industry. Then you've got the networks. You know, the networks control so much of the sports industry because they sell advertising around those sports games. So, yeah, absolutely. There are a few really dominant, important corporations and individuals that control a lot of the sports industry.
Now, we heard the slogan, "Just Do It," and we know who that is. That's Nike. Nike, of course, it seems like has been the biggest and most penetrating of all into the sports arena. But it sounds like to me when I read the Nike story that Nike really has set their goal on celebrities' endorsements as opposed to the general population. So if, in fact, we had a lockout in the NFL, and quite a bit of the dollars come from the NFL, what do you think the impact would be on Nike?
Well, that's an interesting question. First of all, I want to agree with you entirely that Nike pretty much leads the industry in doing those big endorsement deals with sports stars. And as soon as someone is clearly going to be a really dominant star in an industry, Nike's there trying hard to get a contract and write a big check. But I want to talk a little bit about, kind of go back and forth as we talk tonight, Ida. I want to talk a little bit about China, so I want to tell you an interesting story about Nike while we're on the subject.
Go right ahead, because China obviously is becoming a major player out there. It's almost looming in the background here.
Well, yeah, it's so interesting to see how American-style sports are developing in China and how the NFL wants to expand there. American basketball is already expanding there. But when I recently walked the streets in Shanghai and Beijing, China's biggest cities, Nike was everywhere. Huge Nike stores, Nike logoed everything, and they are out there. You know, they are taking those American sports figures and using them to market products all over the world very effectively. It's interesting to see it happen, and I think that's good for America. I think it generally can create a positive image for America and good revenues for American firms.
Now, I'll give you another backdrop. Nike's numbers were down in the United States, but their global numbers were up.
And that's happening. That's happening a lot of companies. That's not alone for Nike, I assure you.
So what do you think the trend is now?
Well, sports and recreation are discretionary purchases. I mean, you have to have food, you have to have housing, you have to have basic clothing, you have to have basic transportation, and then everything else becomes somewhere between a discretionary purchase and a luxury. So we are just barely starting to climb out of this miserable recession that we've been in, and a lot of Americans have cut back on those discretionary purchases. And that's affected everything from stadium ticket sales in the big leagues to golf to purchases of things like a new baseball mitt. I mean, it's been pretty hard on American business, just like it's been hard on American consumers.
Now, I understand that the real argument between the owners and the players on the NFL has to do with, number one, the media dollars. And right now, they're receiving something like $3 billion, and they want another billion off the top, and that has to come from the players. And that seems to be where you're having your biggest drawbacks right now in dealing with that issue. Now, that obviously is something that the owners have looked at, because the big issue is that they actually have bought insurance, lockout insurance, expecting that in fact a lockout came, that they would be protected in that regard. But what does that do to the industries that depend on football?
Well, it would be devastating to the industry. Just look at the peripheral industries around a stadium, and everybody from the food vendors trying to sell you a hot dog to the hotels nearby trying to sell you a room while you watch a football game if you've come from out of town. I mean, it would be a terrible loss for lots and lots of peripheral industries. Be hard on media. I mean, if you're DirecTV and you're planning to let all your subscribers watch the Sunday games under that contract, and the games aren't there, you know, you've got a lot of unhappy viewers. I mean, this is a big issue affecting a whole lot of people, and it goes way beyond just the players and the owners.
So when you look at this, my opinion is that this is an issue that the American public doesn't quite understand and get, because it's like the recession came upon us and we saw that. But think about the jobs that are involved here. Think about the purchases. I mean, you talk about merchandising. That's a big piece of it. You talk about, the media. That's a big piece of it. Housing, hotels, things of that nature. Is there any responsibility here that, you know, I mean, the fans themselves should be looking at? I mean, maybe writing letters to the NFL team might be appropriate right here.
Well, it might be. I have certainly been wrong before, but I would personally be surprised if this goes all the way down to a lockout. I can see it going down to the last minute, and there being a lot of acrimony and discussion and debate down to the last minute. But I'd be surprised if it goes to a lockout, because it's really not, A, it's not good for either side. Nobody wins if there's a lockout. B, so many people lose outside of just the players and the teams, as you just described. And C, you know, I don't think this is a good time for a set of players or a set of business owners, team owners, to be caught looking greedy. You know, there's so many people that don't have a job right now. That's getting better, and it's going to get a lot better soon. But there are a lot of people who their incomes are down, and they don't really want to hear about football players wanting more income.
You're absolutely right. And that, again, is what I believe is the perceptions will be very important here, as how things are handled up until that deadline, because I'm sure people are watching it very, very carefully in that regard. I want to sort of get off of the NFL, because I know the NFL, it's going to work itself out some kind of way. I know that. And I'm hoping that, because they've got the draft here coming up, and it will be meaningless. You've got your free agencies coming up. It will be meaningless. And all you can really do at that point in time is develop your teams outside the United States, and NFL Europe does not exist anymore. So, you know, you really don't have a lot of farm teams out there. So it could be almost a devastating thing. So hopefully they're considering those things and are looking at that very, very carefully. I want to switch over to the changes in baseball, because I understand baseball has had to make some major changes in order for them to come to some type of parity. And you write a lot about that. What are the trends in baseball right now? Because I know there's been a lot of clubs that were up for sale.
There have been a lot of clubs up for sale, and one of the problems in baseball from a business point of view was some team owners, especially in Dallas, where the team got in deep financial trouble. Relatively new owners had bought the team, paid a lot of money for it, and had borrowed a lot of money to make that purchase. And then the recession slapped them pretty hard. So There have been a lot of team owners who, saw their team income drop dramatically during the recession. Again, that discretionary purchase makes it harder to go buy an expensive baseball game ticket. And then, B, all that peripheral income, trying to sell your stadium naming rights, whatever it is you're trying to do. Baseball teams didn't do very well during the recession. And then, number two, if I could just go on for a minute, there's a real dichotomy between baseball and football. So in football, you've only got 16 regular season games. They're trying to extend that to 18, but you've only got 16 games compared to 10 times as many games in baseball, 162 games in a season in baseball. Nonetheless, with only 10% of the games in regular season, football brings in more money than baseball. Now figure that out. Baseball is trying to catch up.
So what type of things will baseball, you think, will be doing to try to get some kind of parity here, or at least to be competitive? Because I know that the steroid trials are coming up, so that's going to be in front of them. What kind of things are they doing? What are you seeing trends there? Are they getting more efficient? I understand that people are now looking more to corporate executives to come and run some of these organizations versus using people that are coming through the system, trying to get more marketing and business people in there?
Well, all the things you've just said. And, these teams have, all of the teams, virtually every sport, they've become such giant businesses with immense revenues that it really takes two sides to run a team. It takes somebody on a great coaching and athletic side, and then it takes somebody great on the management and marketing side. Because the values of some of these teams, the number one off the top of my head, the value of the Dallas Cowboys and Washington Redskins are each estimated to be over $1.5 billion enterprise value. We're talking about big business here. And it's really incumbent on the owners these days not to look at this as a hobby, but as a big business where they need serious managers. And I think we're going to see baseball coming along. It's a shame to see baseball get embroiled in steroid mess, just like the steroid problem has done so much damage to the Tour de France and high level cycling. I just hate to see a sport get tied up in that. When what fans really want is to watch great athletes do what they do well, instead of worrying about who's cheating and who's not, and it's a shame when things get down to that level.
You're absolutely right. We're really getting to the guts of what's happening here in the sports market. We're talking about baseball, talking about football. We're going to take a quick break here. We're going to come back with our special guest, Jack Plunkett. We're going to talk basketball. We'll be back in three.
In a landscape dominated by male talk show hosts, The Sports Maverick Show with host Ida Moyet, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, has consistently offered a new dimension to sports since the year 2000. Ida's new five-part CD series entitled Survival Guide for Student Athletes from High School, College to the Pros is a must-have for every parent with an elite athlete. The Sports Maverick Show is where the best gets better on and off the field. Order your survival guide today. Log on to www.pro-readycoach.com. That's PROREADYCOACH.com. Pro-readycoach.com.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams. Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you. Every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
They need to bench his ass and then move on. I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
You are listening to the Sports Maverick Show with Ida Moyer. If you would like to join the conversation today, please call now. The number is 1-866-472-5787. That's 1-866-472-5787. Now, back to the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome back to the Sports Maverick Show. It's Ida Moyer, your host. And we are talking about 2011 U.S. sports market boom or bust. We're talking about trends in the sports industry, technology challenges and advances, and the impact of Tiger Woods, LeBron James, Aaron Rodgers' Super Bowl win, steroid trials in baseball, and a possible lockout in the NFL. Will this cause a bust or a boom in America? I have with me a very special guest, Mr. Jack Plunkett. He's the CEO and publisher of Plunkett Research, and I want to welcome him back to our show. Welcome back to the show, Jack.
Ida, thanks. This is a lot of fun. I'm glad to be here.
Well, God, I'm glad you're having fun. That's the most important thing, because I tell people I put fun back into sports, you know? And I like that, because that lets people know that we know sometimes people get serious about numbers, but I love the stories behind sports. It's just, to me, a vast landscape back there. And the stuff we're talking about today, I don't think you'll find that anywhere in any other broadcast talking about. So we're really happy to have you, and you're really, really giving us a great insight here. Well, at the break, we were talking about how baseball had struggled through this recession and really had a lot of different things they had to work with, but they're trying to work as some type of parity, understand they're sharing with other owners so they can get better players or, you know, things of that nature. So I think they're trying to work out as their problems. But we have another issue. Let's talk about basketball. Now, basketball has a great reach because they've got the women's basketball, which is starting to show a little bit of promise and a lot of marketing behind that. And then you've got your regular basketball, the men's basketball, and we recently saw this huge defection of LeBron James to Miami and the great rift that caused among owners and players. And we're seeing that Carmelo Anthony just got to the Knicks. So we're seeing also the same thing continuing in basketball, where they want to win at all costs, and they're willing to take less salaries in order for them to win. So what do you think about this trend in basketball? Is it going to help basketball or hinder it?
Well, I think one thing that was good for basketball is just all this news. I mean, look at the tremendous amount of attention the sport got because of James moving to Miami. And sure, it was negative if you were in Cleveland. It was positive if you're in Miami. And it was just kind of interesting to all the rest of us. Certainly, he took a little cut in pay. But in all honesty, the difference between, about $14.5 million in Miami compared to $15.7 million in Cleveland, you know, when you're making that much money, that's not a big thing. I think James was enticed to move someplace where he had a chance to be on a team that might be a real winner. And, of course, so far the team's doing pretty well.
Well, obviously they had a little rocky start, and then they basically began to take off. There's been a few injuries because Wayne was down with injuries. And then I understand that Boss also was out with some injuries, but they're proving it to the people that what they can do. And it looks like Carmelo Anthony thinks that he can do the same thing. What do you think about that? Because the Knicks just got Carmelo Anthony.
Well, you know, that's part of it. It's this free agent situation where a player goes free agent. And all kinds of interesting things can happen under that situation. I think Miami, from a performance point of view, it's going to be more interesting to see how they do second and third year with these three big deal new players. And the same thing if Anthony makes a big jump. You know, it'd be interesting to see what happens second or third season when they really get coordinated as a team around new players. I think it'd be interesting.
Can you see basketball taking some of those dollars away from football?
Gosh, that's a good question. You know, basketball has done really well in terms of selling high-dollar seats, as you've seen the, you know, on TV, the movie stars and famous people sitting right there in the best seats, paying a whole lot of money for them, showing up every time. The stadiums, the stadium boxes have sold pretty well. The marketing message is there. But for some reason, basketball is still, it's actually probably a little less than one-half the revenues of football. Part of the problem is game attendance. So a football stadium, average attendance in NFL is about 67,000 people for a game. And in basketball, it's only 17,000. So what is that, you know, almost three-quarter less people in attendance. So I don't know if basketball can ever catch up in terms of just gross dollars. I don't know if it's there.
Okay, so possibly baseball because of the same type of stadium facility type, like football, but basketball has actually limitations because of the actual seating. But they obviously play more games.
Right,
so
right.
They can do a lot of merchandising
yep.
in that regard. But a great story, like you said, always brings in dollars, and so that's one great thing that's happened with baseball. And I must say, kudos to the organization because they got a lot of ladies that are running basketball. A lot of people know it behind the scenes, and they're doing total development of players, which I really love their philosophy. So I want to give kudos for that. But you don't hear too much about a lot of problems in basketball in terms of ownership, other than of course maybe, you know, the Knicks had a problem, and then of course the Carolinas had a problem, but they're starting now to kind of cure that. They brought some big dollars in, so you don't really see that a lot. But let's just shift our gears to golf, because here you had Tiger Woods, $100 billion marketing machine, and no one had ever seen the dollars that were poured into golf when Tiger Woods was heavily involved in golf. What has this done to golf as an industry right now?
Well, it's taken a lot of the wind out of the sails for golf. And there's, you know, something of an analogy here when Lance Armstrong was not in the Tour de France for a couple of recent years. The viewership fell way off, sponsorships fell off. You know, sometimes fans really build a lot of expectation and excitement around one star. And then if that star falls off the fence, then it really, really hurts the whole industry. So Tiger Woods was a money-making machine and looked like he was going to be the greatest golfer that ever lived. And now where are we? You know, it's upside down as far as Woods. And to me, the exciting part is that opens up the field for a lot of other great people to rise to the top. But it's been hard on the industry. And there's several other things that are hard on the industry, too.
And what are some of those things?
Well, golf is perceived as an expensive sport, and it's not like tennis, you know. And we ought to talk about inexpensive sports here in a little while, I guess, what's going on. But golf is perceived as an expensive sport. It takes a lot of time to play. You know, you've got 3, 4, 5, 6 hours to get out to the course and play 18 holes and go to the 19th hole and so on. It's also a sport for people who are getting along in years, so you're kind of looking at a 45 to 70 year old set that play the most golf, and the younger people are not coming up in golf the way the industry would like for it to do so. So the recession, the fact that young people aren't entering, the fact that it's the recession made it harder to get the right sponsors and so on for the big tournaments, and then the quick decline of Tiger Woods, all of it has been kind of tough on the industry.
I know that in terms of Tiger, he commanded higher salaries for the PGA. He commanded higher salaries for the individual golfer. He commanded, I had so many people who started businesses up that because Tiger was involved, it inspired them to start businesses up. You know, they have all type of simulated golf to corporations now, and numerous of people who just literally came out and because of Tiger became so inspired that they entered into the golf field, either in business or as a player or as even someone who even contributed advertisement. But a lot of that is gone because Tiger's not there anymore. And I don't know if golf will ever get that back again. I mean, because it is, like you said, an expensive sport. And like they call, they said the, you know, horse riding was the sports of kings. I guess golf is a sport of kingpins. So, and I tell you a story. You'll love this. I have a golfer who is started when he was 31, and he literally was trying to get on the PGA roster. And as a result of it, he went to Afghanistan to raise money so that he can come back and play golf. And he's in Afghanistan right now. So I'm sending a shout out to Vern Burns, who's actually out there in Afghanistan working, so that he can raise enough money to support himself for sponsorship to make it to the tour. Now, that's an amazing story.
That's a good guy. Well, he certainly won't have anything to spend his salary on while he's in Afghanistan, so he ought to come home with a checkbook full and be able to support himself for a year on the tour. But that's interesting. That's really interesting. And that's one thing that's kind of fun about golf. It's a, you know, it's a sport that anybody can get into. All you have to do is have talent. You don't have to be hired. You don't have to be accepted by the team. You've just got to be a great player and get out there and try. So it's kind of a unique sport in that regard.
Well, I think, but when you look at it, if you want to be in, quote-unquote, any type of, you know, championship leagues or anything like that, you got to get a trainer, and then you've got to practice every single day.
Sure.
I mean, you literally have to give your life to it. And what I'm the most curious thing around golfers who are really training is that you can't let that negative entropy get in. They're almost like, you know, robots. Their life is literally, I hear wives tell me all the time, you know, I'm a widow to golf because my husband's like a robot when he's training. You know, you can't talk to him. You can't bring anything negative into him. Anyway, folks, we're going to go to our next break. In about three, we'll be back. We're going to talk about still more trends in sports. My special guest, Jack Plunkett, is here, CEO and publisher of Plunkett Research. We're going to come back and talk about college sports. What's happening in college sports? And are they the next boom in this industry? We'll be back in three. This is Ida Moya, your host, and you're listening to the Sports Maverick Show.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Do you love sports talk?
Can't get enough sports talk?
Have we got a show for you? It's about the NFL training camps, Super Bowl previews, a look at the new starting quarterbacks, and weekly key injuries. We'll take your calls and emails right on the air. Former Philadelphia Eagle James Loving is your host, and you never know who'll drop by for a co-host spot or an interview on the spot. Tune in to Loving That Sports Talk with James Loving every Wednesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
They need to bitch his ass and then move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
You are listening to the Sports Maverick Show with Ida Moyer. If you would like to join the conversation today, please call now. The number is 1-866-472-5787. That's 1-866-472-5787. Now, back to the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome back to the Sports Maverick Show. It's Ida Moyer, and if you haven't been with us in this last half an hour, you are missing a treat. We are talking about 2001 USA sports market boom or bust. We're talking about the trends in the sports industry, technology, challenges, advances, impact of Tiger Woods, LeBron James' decision, Aaron Rodgers Super Bowl win, steroid trial in baseball, and a possible looming lockout in the NFL and how that's going to affect the sports industry this year. But we're going to shift gears here and bring my guest back, Mr. Jack Plunkett, who is the CEO and publisher of Plunkett Research, which is a Houston-based provider of award-winning market research and industry information. I'm going to bring him back. We're going to talk about college sports because we're seeing some surprising trends there. We want to get his opinion on that. Jack, welcome back to the show.
Ida, thanks so much. It's so good to be here.
Well, Jack, you know, we're just having a great time here, and I hope you feel comfortable talking to our audience out there. But I just got an email. It's from Eleanor Starks. She is the mother of Max Starks of the Pittsburgh Steelers, formerly of the University of Florida, and she has a question for you. And the question is this. Is there going to be pay for players at the college level?
Oh, that's a great question. Let me give you a lengthy answer. The NCAA is getting to be big business, and it's bringing in pretty big money to the universities. But we're in a situation now because state budgets are hurting so badly, as you see in the news every day. Tax revenues are down. States are trying to cover their budgets. And state government provides most of the money for university operations, at least public universities. So I think what we're going to see is colleges and universities trying to figure out how to make more money for the college in this environment going forward, and it's going to be pretty stressful. But I can't see how that could possibly include providing money to the college-level players. And let me give you an example. The top-earning campuses in 2009 in NCAA were led by University of Texas in 2009, about $87 million, followed by Ohio State at about $68 million, and about $66 million at University of Florida. And these numbers are all from our Plunkett's Sports Industry Almanac, where we track all this stuff pretty hard and try to include college trends in with the commercial sports trends. And, you know, Ida, that just is not a lot of money when you consider, as you said a minute ago, all the teams, all the games that go on through the school year, all the sports entertainment that, for instance, one of these big three universities is providing. It doesn't seem to me like they're getting much money in return.
Now, I think that the biggest issue is the money that is made in these bowl games. And I think a lot of players play in the bowl games, and they don't participate in the bowl games in dollars. And that's their biggest complaint, that they're not receiving dollars from these bowl games. They get a ring, they get accolades, but they don't get paid for it. And they think that at the highest level of participation you can have in sports is to win a bowl game and even a national championship.
Well, that's interesting. If, you know, if I was a player, I might feel that way. I might feel like I've played hard for my school for 3 or 4 years, and I've risked injury, and here I've brought the school to a bowl game. On the other hand, if I'm a fan or I'm the school administration or I'm NCAA, I think their attitude is going to be, well, we've given you a very valuable athletic scholarship for 4 years. We've helped you develop your potential as an athlete so you can now go commercial and make a lot of money if you want to. You know, I see college sports as kind of a win-win deal regardless of whether the college athletes get paid. But I can certainly understand if I was a college athlete, I might have a different attitude.
Well, that's it. We're going to leave that for the legislators to figure that one out, I'm sure.
Right.
But what I want to talk about is media. Rival.com was bought by Yahoo for almost close to $100 million. And that was pretty much the media, the social media behind, high school, potential players, and it profiles them. Where do you see media going in this in sports, period? Because we're seeing crazy numbers coming out for media, just the control of the content out there. Crazy numbers in terms of dollars that are being spent on advertisement in media. The shift into the internet versus away from television and things of that nature. Where do you see all that going?
Well, that's a great question, and it's one of my favorite topics, so I'm glad you brought it up. So at Plunkett Research, we cover all of these different important industry sectors. We cover e-commerce, we cover advertising, we cover wireless. And this topic's also covered a lot in my new book called The Next Boom, which we can talk about in a few minutes. But in these publications and in the research we're doing, you'll see that there's so many rapid changes going on in the way people access entertainment, number one. For instance, going to what we call the third screen, which is, you know, the first screen was the television screen, the second screen was the computer screen. Now the third screen in our lives is your cell phone, it's your iPhone, your smartphone, whatever. And things have moved so quickly from just sitting in front of television to carrying your entertainment around with you wherever you go. And now the big thing for the future is how that American entertainment, whether it's movies or sports or American broadcast news, how that entertainment is moving into emerging markets overseas, again, often on the cell phone screen. So my point is that this whole industry is changing so fast, and there's so many opportunities, and the big media companies are trying to figure out, how do I not get left behind? Who do I need to acquire? What technology do I need to come up with? I see this advancing sports and entertainment audience around the world. How do I get to it, and how do I keep up with young audiences in the United States as they adopt new technologies? It's a fascinating subject.
Well, that has to be some great reading. So your book is called The Next Boom, and you want to tell us exactly where they can purchase that?
Thanks. I would love to talk about that. So The Next Boom just came out about 3 weeks ago. It is one of our popularly priced books, where most of our books, like our Sports Industry Almanac, are big, expensive reference books. The Next Boom is a popularly priced book for the mass market. It's available for Kindle. It's available for your Apple products in the iTunes store. It's available at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and so on. And The Next Boom talks, actually, I love to tell you the subtitle of The Next Boom. The subtitle is What You Absolutely, Positively Have to Know About the World Between Now and 2025, because it talks about all the trends that are changing the world around you and the things that we feel like you really need to know about to not only keep from being confused, but to make sure you're well-positioned in your career, your investments, the votes you make, whatever it is you're doing with your life. Make sure you're well-positioned because you understand what's going on in the world around you.
This is excellent. And if someone is interested in hiring your firm to do research for them, how can they reach you?
Well, Ida, that's great. We are at PlunkettResearch.com, and Plunkett is spelled with two T's, so PLUNKETT, PlunkettResearch.com. And something I guess your audience would like to know is that we give away a whole lot of data on our website. So if you're working on a school project or a business plan or you just need to know something, and you want to know the basic numbers behind the sports industry or the media industry or retailing or biotechnology, we've got basic descriptions that we give for free on that website, PlunkettResearch.com. And then if you need more in-depth information, there are easy ways for you to buy further information from us or contact us and let us know what it is you need. But we're a great free resource for your listeners.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Now, I'm so happy to hear that you're staying on top of all these great things that are out there. I've got another question for you. It's coming from James T. of Hot 105 in the Miami-Fort Lauderdale area. He says, where does radio fit in here?
Boy, that's interesting. Radio has gone through just a tremendous evolution. And, Ida, you're a great example of that, because here we are doing radio that anybody in the entire world can listen to via internet radio. And they can listen to your show right now, or they can listen to it 6 weeks from now because you can archive it. You know, radio has extended and become such a fascinating industry, but at the same time, it's become difficult for the traditional radio stations to keep up. They're being hammered by internet radio. They're being hammered by satellite radio, which now in the United States has about 20 million subscribers. So it's interesting. To me, the most important thing is what you're doing, Ida, and that is radio becoming portable via the internet and available via any platform you want to use anytime you want to listen to it.
Well, you know, when we got started back in 2004, there were no sports shows on voiceamerica.com, and I made a decision to start a sports show, and now there is a Voice America channel. So you can see where this has gone. I mean, and I've interviewed people from the Prince of Monaco, you know, all the way to people in Africa, Russia, and all over right on this radio station. So it speaks to what you're talking about. And I get emails from all over the world. And I know I'm going to get a lot of ears, so I'm so happy to have you because I know you're a global thinker. And that is important to my listeners out there because they want to connect to the United States in any way that they can, and they like our thinking, and they want to be a part of that. And I just got an email, and it's coming from China, so let me just give you this one. You talked about China, and it reared its head. Okay, I've got Lily Loom, and Lily Loom wants to know, what do you see happening in sportswear?
In sportswear, very interesting. You know, that is a huge category. It is one of the most exciting sectors in apparel, and it has been one of the best growth sectors in apparel over the last 15 or 20 years, not only because people are wearing sports apparel to exercise, go to the gym, and perform their favorite sports, but also because they find it comfortable to wear when they're just at leisure. So my answer would be that I think it is a tremendous growth potential, not so much huge future growth in the United States. I think it will continue to do well in the United States, but I think huge future growth in like Brazil, for instance, where I was there about 3 weeks ago, seeing lots of people wearing apparel around that boasted of their favorite sports teams, and as you know, they've got the World Cup and the Olympics coming to Brazil and rapidly rising incomes there where they can buy more things like more sports clothing. Throughout Asia, pretty soon in Africa, I think it's just going to be a huge global growth industry, and a lot of it's going to be logoed, of course, with the world's favorite teams.
Okay. Now, do you see sports in terms of a market for non-sports people getting involved in athletic wear?
Definitely. I mean, I certainly see at the gym where I work out, I certainly see people who don't look like they're particularly active in physical sports, but they've suddenly decided they need to go to the gym. They have to buy the right kind of clothing to be comfortable and effective in when they work out, so they're showing up in gym shorts and nice running shoes, and, you know, they just spent $100 or $200 on clothes so they can wear them to their new gym membership. I think absolutely.
So where do you see, what segment do you see the most? We're going to come back and talk. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and try to finish this up. I want to know what segment in athletic wear are you seeing the growth. We'll be back at 3. This is Ida Moye. You're listening to the Sports Maverick Show.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
We some hard hitters, we some hard hitters.
Hard-hitting radio is a new kind of sports and entertainment show. Your hosts are NFL veterans Mark McMillan and co-host Byron Evans. It's an hour of hater-free radio every week. You'll hear interviews with top athletes, celebrities, coaches, and fans. It's humor, hits, and conversation. Hard-hitting radio is on with McMillan and Evans. Listen Fridays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Network.
In a landscape dominated by male talk show hosts, The Sports Maverick Show with host Ida Moyet, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, has consistently offered a new dimension to sports since the year 2000. Ida's new five-part CD series entitled Survival Guide for Student Athletes from High School, College to the Pros is a must-have for every parent with an elite athlete. The Sports Maverick Show is where the best gets better on and off the field. Order your survival guide today. Log on to www.pro-readycoach.com. That's PROREADYCOACH.com. Pro-readycoach.com.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
You are listening to the Sports Maverick Show with Ida Moyet. If you would like to join the conversation today, please call now. The number is 1-866-472-5787. That's 1-866-472-5787. Now, back to the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome back to the Sports Maverick Show. We're almost to the end of our broadcast, and I want to thank those people who called in and gave us their questions. Our wonderful friend from China, our wonderful, wonderful friend from Orlando, Florida, our wonderful friend from down in Fort Lauderdale that wrote to us, and the 10 that we didn't get to, we're going to call you personally and talk to you. So do not worry about that. We'll get to you. But folks, we've been talking about 2011 USA sports market, boom or bust. I'm going to ask my guest, Jack Blunkett, right now, boom or bust, what do you think the market's going to look like in 2011?
Well, I think we'll see the sports market making a good recovery in 2011, and especially in 2012, 2013. After having a pretty hard time of it in the recession, I think we're going to see, I think we already are seeing some evidence of sports markets coming back, people getting out to games, and things looking better.
Now, the other question is, because we talked about China, is China trying to garner some of the sports industry? Clearly, I mean, even at the White House, stuff is made in China that represents the United States. You know, so, I mean, and most of the manufacturing that's being done right now in the sports industry is coming from China. I mean, and where do you see the most, you know, impact at?
I'll give you a quick answer. A lot of that apparel and shoe manufacturing that's now done in China, and you're right, about 98% of our shoes in America come from China, for instance, including running shoes and sports shoes. A lot of that apparel and shoe manufacturing is going to be leaving China because wages are rising in China, and it's going to be going to Bangladesh and the Philippines and Africa, and China's manufacturing is going to evolve towards the higher-end stuff and the more technical equipment, just like Japan did after World War II. But what I want to tell you is China is a fantastic opportunity for the U.S. sports industry. Walking down the street in China's big cities, one of the first things you'll see as an American are giant stores that are NBA stores and huge color posters as big as half a building of American basketball stars. I mean, Chinese people are crazy for American sports, and it is a great opportunity for us to have a win-win deal with China in selling our sports programming and getting new teams started, franchises from American-type sports in China. It's a great opportunity.
Oh, outstanding, outstanding. Well, Jack, I don't want you to be a stranger. I'd love to invite you back again so we can take a look at this sometime after we get the new numbers. And don't be a stranger to us, but I want to thank you for joining us, you know, on this broadcast, because I can say that you truly are a sports maverick out there. And the person that we give that name to is someone who truly has a passion about what they're doing, both from the academic side of it and the love for the game. You sound like you really love the game because, I mean, you really put your heart and soul in this research and you really brought us some great things here today. But if you stay with me towards the close here, I'd like to make some special recommendations here. Number one, folks out there, get the book. If you're looking to learn about where the next boom is in the market, get the book. And you can get it at Amazon.com. You can get it at your local bookstores. Make sure you get the book. This is great reading. You're going to enjoy it, and you're going to learn something. And if you're writing business plans and things like that and you need information, get the Almanac as well. Go to the website and look it up. Now, Jack is available on Facebook. You also can get him on Twitter. You can also get him on LinkedIn. I think your profile is on LinkedIn as well. So he's not anyone that you can't reach out to, so make sure you do that. I think there's some great news out there happening in the sports industry and in other industries that are related, to the sports industry. But folks, you know, every year this time, we always make our new Sports Mavericks announcement. And I want to let you know that this is a comeback year for our candidates. Number one is our Coach of the Year, drum roll, dun, 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 is Coach Charlie Strong from the University of Louisville. Now, Charlie Strong pretty much comes to Louisville with 27 years of coaching experience. And he started off first as a graduate assistant at University of Florida, Texas A&M, a graduate assistant, Southern Illinois, who was a running back coach, then came back to Florida and was a offensive linebacker coach. Then he went to Ole Miss, was a wide receiver coach, and then back to Florida and stayed there as an assistant head coach as well as a defensive tackle coach. Now, everybody knows that Charlie, of course, was there at Florida when Florida had that big championship. They served as an interim head coach during the firing of Ron Zook. And then when it was taken over by Urban Myers, he was the only coach that actually did retain his position there. And he, of course, in 2010 was named as head coach of Louisville. He got his first bowl, his first outing on a 7-7 year. And I want to congratulate Coach Strong for staying with the fight and now becoming basically our Coach of the Year. The athlete of the year is Cam Newton. He doesn't come without controversy, people, and I understand that. And I understand he also comes with a lot of ego. But if you think about his actual plight to get to this level, he was at Florida in 2007. Of course, he was redshirted in 2008. He then transferred to a junior college. He basically led them to a national championship. He was rated as the number one junior college actual quarterback at the time. He then steps on the turf at Auburn University, not with cheers, but boos. And he takes them to a national championship. And he is now heading into the NFL draft. And trust me, you haven't yet heard enough about Cam Newton. He will be here for a long time to come. And we named him our Male Athlete of the Year. Again, thank you so much, Cam Newton. He's a Heisman Trophy winner as well. Also, our Athlete of the Year female is Lindsey Vonn. And you remember Lindsey Vonn had an accident during the Olympics and still went on to win a gold medal. She is the most celebrated U.S. female skier and male skier of the United States, winning two championships, and she is our Female Athlete of the Year. And congratulations to all three winners. Now, as we close out our broadcast here, I want to thank Jack Plunkett for being our guest, Jack. And you've got the last word, Jack. Tell us what you want the people to know out there about what's happening.
I just want to thank you so much. You are a terrific host. I had a great time. Visit us at PlunkettResearch.com and get out there and buy your own copy of The Next Boom as soon as you can.
And again, Jack, like I said, don't be a stranger, because we definitely want to invite you back to tell us about what's happening in the marketplace. And again, thanks for being our Sports Maverick of the Week. And I want to say goodnight to everyone, and we'll see you next week, same broadcast. Have a good one. Remember, hug that athlete, whether win or lose, and get out there and get busy, mothers and dads. Your kids are active, you get active, because they can't stay active unless you lead by example. I want to say good night, And this is another broadcast for Sports Mavericks. We'll see you next week. Have a good night.
Thank you for joining Ida Moyet and the Sports Maverick Show. We hope you enjoyed today's conversation. If you have a question or a story you'd like to share with Ida, you can email her at sportsmavericks@yahoo.com. Sportsmavericks@yahoo.com. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.